This show is brought to you by Safety FM. The Jay Allen Show is streaming now on safetyfm.live.
Hello and welcome to the Jay Allen Show. I am glad that you have decided to make a return once again to taking a listen to the show here. I hope things are going extremely well in your neck of the woods. I know in these times of uncertainty, we're not 100% sure what to do next. So let's just take a moment, sit back and relax, and take a listen to what we have to offer to you today. Today, I have a conversation with Ronald Ferris. He is a business partner of Hope Consulting. Ronald says that he's a dynamic problem solver who utilizes human performance skills and knowledge to solve complex problems, expert in high reliability operation principles and practices, an effective communicator who has the ability to work with all levels of the organization to resolve identified issues with creative solutions. Over 38 years of experience in human performance, nuclear operations, maintenance, industrial safety, and human factors research. Please take a moment to welcome to the show with me, Ronald Ferris. Oh, well, we can start from how did you get started with the whole area of HOP?
Okay. I spent most of my 1980s in the United States Navy nuclear program. And with that, I, of course, was introduced with the formality and rigor that comes with running a nuclear propulsion system on an aircraft carrier and training folks for the last 3 years that I was in. And when I got out, I went to work for Argonne National Laboratory as a research reactor operator at a fast sodium reactor, which is similar to what Bill Gates is building in China right now. It's an interesting design. And eventually that reactor was shut down. And I went into safety. I've been working on my first degree program, which was waste management. And the introduction to safety was interesting. I spent a few years doing that. And Argonne National Lab was rolled into what is now the Idaho National Laboratory, the largest nuclear research lab in the world. And as part of that rollout, I was the person chosen to help support the training for human performance and our observation program. So I worked with a gentleman named Shane Bush. You may know him. I'm not sure if you do. Shane's been around.
I do.
Yeah, Shane's been around quite a while. And I mentored under him and ended up training and putting in place training for folks everywhere from, the security force clear up to our PhD scientist and working with folks across the lab to roll that program out. We trained approximately 5,500 people. Took quite a while, as you can imagine. But I helped lead that effort. And then eventually we stood up a human performance organization. I was the first person they hired, then eventually became the manager of that group. Spent a few years doing that. Picked up my master's degree in industrial safety. And I was asked if I was interested in going over to human factors research. And I thought, I haven't done that yet. So that was an interesting endeavor. I spent about 8 years doing research. Most of that work was with helping our current fleet of commercial nuclear power plants extend their life so that they could go from, let's say, 25 years to 50 to 75, maybe even 100 years. And one of the areas that I was tasked with is how to address human performance with modern technology. Wrote quite a few papers, did some interesting research down at Duke Energy at the Catawba Nuclear Station. Had a lot of folks from the Nuclear Energy Institute there, the folks from the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations. And then I went on to do another project to improve performance with outage management in commercial nuclear power plants, which their big issue at the time I was supporting that effort was dealing with what we call emergent issues. And the work I was doing was in support of standing up some software to capture that data and the performance of the control room operators to evaluate how they did under various scenarios and to actually collect actual human failure rates. Nobody had been doing that. Most of that work associated with HRA had been pretty much what we call expert-based and fairly conservative. And that database is still in use today. It was the last project I was working on. I was actually in Taiwan training all the nuclear trainers at their four nuclear power plant sites. Very interesting work. Spent about 2 weeks over there doing that. And I had gotten a second call from Hope Consulting, a gentleman named Ray Gonzalez, who's my business partner, and asking me if I was interested in coming to work for them. And I thought, well, I eventually plan to get in back to human performance and HOP and look at how to step back into that. And here it seemed to be put in my lap, and the timing seemed to be right from a personal standpoint. I'd been at the Idaho National Lab 27 years total, 8 years in the Navy nuclear program. And I thought, 35 years experience, about time to be a consultant while I still got the energy and some wisdom and education maybe to take it to folks and present it in maybe a slightly different way than they've been hearing it. So
was that a difficult transition from going from being, I guess, inside of the actual national laboratory inside of Idaho, and then all of a sudden going into, we'll say, quote unquote, the private sector?
It was an interesting transition. I wouldn't call it difficult. It was just a different challenge for sure. Changes stress, obviously, being a consultant. You only work when there is work. And when you don't have work, you're looking for work. And when you are working, you're looking for other work. So that always made it interesting. Wasn't used to doing that. But to be honest, all my time at Idaho National Lab, or at least the last 15 years, I was actually kind of an internal consultant. I was asked by all the nuclear research community to be their lead assessor and cause analyst. And I also taught human performance and cause analysis at the University of Idaho as an adjunct professor as soon as I finished my master's degree. So it was a good fit. I would get asked to come in and evaluate any kind of event, anywhere from experimental fuels work to an actual accident out where we're making our tank armor to anything associated with plutonium, uranium, fuels, a lot of interesting work there. So to me, as a consultant, I've got to tell you that internal work doing assessments and cause analysis was probably the most informative out of all my career, because when you got to delve deep into something to try to understand why there's less than adequate performance or actual failure, you learn a lot about evaluating human behavior. So that was probably the most interesting work I did, I would say.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
Unite and support employees with missionical solutions from WorkHuman that replace isolation with recognition, connections, and celebration. Try life events, conversations, and social recognition free through March 2021. Life Events provides a way for isolated employees to share joy from wherever they're working. Without the in-person FaceTime, Conversations meets the important need of scheduling one-on-one time with your direct reports, receiving feedback from peers, and setting goals and priorities to keep forward momentum. Social recognition motivates and empowers your employees to do the best work possible during times like these with the lift of peer-to-peer recognition. Learn more about these free tools at welcome.human.com. Now let's get some further information about these. Right now, there's even more reason to celebrate what life's affirming with Life Events by WorkHuman. You can help isolated employees share joy from whenever they're working from. Celebrate the new babies, birthdays, weddings, and much-needed well wishes. Rally your work family to stay connected and share more personal stories. Enlist the crowd through social support to keep morale high. Try Life Events free through March 2021. Visit welcome.workhuman.com for more information. Conversations by WorkHuman ensures that managers and teams connect often to navigate the uncertainty. Without the in-person FaceTime, it's even more important to schedule one-on-one time with your direct reports. Give continuous feedback to help stay flexible and fluid. Make planned check-ins something managers and teams can count on. Stay and reset short-term goals to stay aligned as priorities shift. Try Conversations free through March 2021. Visit welcome.human.com for more information. Social recognition by WorkHuman replaces social distancing with a strong sense of belonging. Motivate and empower your employees to do the best work possible during times like this. Harness the power of gratitude to strengthen teams bond. Discover how the peer-to-peer appreciation is the cure for isolation. Create meaning and shared purpose through human moments that matter. Try social recognition free through March 2021. Visit welcome.workhuman.com for more information. Now is your opportunity to try life events, conversations, and social recognition free through March 2021. Visit welcome.workhuman.com for more information. That's welcome.workhuman.com for more information.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
So let me ask a question right there. Because so then you said the gentleman's name was Ray Gonzalez.
What was the
appeal of all of a sudden for you to jump over? I know that you said you wanted to go back, but why did you decide to, why was this the correct choice for you at the time?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a variety of factors. Obviously, you just your personal life, where work's taking you. I was at kind of probably the peak of where I could probably go without a PhD at the National Lab. You know, if you're a researcher and you haven't reached the PhD level at some point, you're going to reach a plateau, if you would. And I was already 50 when they asked me to go into a PhD program, and I'm a big outdoorsman and spend a lot of time in the great outdoors of Idaho. And I thought, you know, I can't picture all my free time and weekends studying to be a PhD. And I decided not to. And I knew that would be career limiting. And that was kind of the choice.
But it's such a great thing to do. I mean, wanting to get a PhD and being locked up in a lab for a long period of time.
Yeah, exactly. I had aspirations, to be honest. One of my colleagues and good friends was Dr. Robert Richards, who worked for me when I was the manager. And he always promoted me going down that path as well. I would have been a rarity to be one of those guys that started at the bottom as a nuke hands-on operator mechanic without a degree, working my way up through. But I just decided it just too many other things in my personal life. We have grandchildren now, and I put family as a priority and decided to not pursue it. You know, it's interesting in the world of human performance and to look at how to take an organization that's really, really good and make them great. And one of the things I brought to those folks up in Canada, I was asked if I would come in and do a risk analysis course. And I said, well, who's the audience? What's the intent? And it was basically management and frontline managers and supervisors. And so I based my work on Dr. Eric Hallnagel and Tony Machera. If you know both those folks, I assume you probably do. So my focus was on risk important actions and critical steps. And what I had found everywhere in the nuke industry, or almost anywhere where folks had actually adopted human performance and was doing the full blown, you know, everybody gets trained, we're going to have an observation program, we're going to make sure you're using human performance tools. But what I found almost across the board, and I think you might find this interesting, it was an eye-opener to me. Everywhere from national labs to commercial nuke power plants to waste facilities, they didn't understand their own term and definition of a critical step. And they conflated it with what Tony now describes as a risk important action. And the differentiation is extremely important. And we're actually co-writing a book, Tony and I, along with a gentleman named Jim Marinas. The three of us are actually writing a book totally committed to critical steps and risk important actions. We're actually have a rough draft in process and hope to have something in print maybe by the fall. So pretty exciting stuff, but been teaching that quite a bit around the country.
Quick, let me ask you something real quick before you continue then. So your concept and Tony's concept is a little bit different, because Tony's big on human and organizational performance.
Yes, absolutely.
You've mentioned hop without the pause. Yeah. So that's how you look at it. And then you come from Shane Bush area where he also calls it human and organizational performance. So why have you why did you decide to go slightly different than them too?
The difference actually is even different than what I mentioned. HRO and HOP to me are really where we're at today. I do believe that. I quite often fall back to using the words human performance just because it's quicker and shorter to say. But I don't like to use abbreviations. But HRO or HOP, I think, is where it's at. I don't see a lot of difference between the two. And I know there's been many articles and some pretty important papers written on the subject. Most recently, I read an article on HROs compared to resiliency or resilience engineering. And the same thing, the debate continues, you know, what's the real difference? And so when folks ask me, I basically say, to me, high reliability organizations, more at the strategic level. It's a high level component that evaluates the system more at a macro scale, and HNOP to me gets down at the micro scale of dealing with the human system interfaces and the human fallibility. I think they're a good marriage, and I don't necessarily always like to argue the differences, but fundamentally, I think they work hand in glove to bring both a strategic and tactical approach to addressing performance in high risk, high consequence work environments.
So let me ask a strange question here. So you referenced that you moved on to go into HOPE Consulting. And so does the HOPE stand for something in particular? Because it's almost like hop with an E. So that's why.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's human and organizational performance improvement or... I apologize. And I'm, but anyways, that's basically, so it's HOP, H-N-O-P. It's just okay. that we were looking for an abbreviation. I'm quite sure when Ray stood up the company to say, hey, you know, what should this say? You know? And so, H-O-P-E basically is H-N-O-P. A good abbreviation for the company.
So right now, with some of the concepts that you go out and do as consulting, how do you think they would apply with everything that's going on related to, of course, the coronavirus and COVID-19? How could actually leaders and people that are actually doing the work inside of organizations use some of these concepts currently?
Yeah, so I think, to me, the number one defense, and I mentioned this in the videos I've been posting on LinkedIn recently, the number one defense against human error and human fallibility is to build in systems and processes that engage your workers. Get them engaged and get them thinking prior to work execution.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
As your business continues to change, so does the support and help that your business needs. Here at Safety Focus Moment, we want to be able to continue to meet the needs that you have as an organization. Just because the world around us has changed does not mean that we're not there for you. We are currently running a special offer to the Safety FM listeners. All speaking engagements, cross-industry workshops, transportation and logistics workshops, and audio services, including commercials such as this one, are available at a special price of 50% off. If you go to safetyfocusmoment.com, that's safetyfocusmoment.com, and use code VIRTUAL, V-I-R-T-U, A-L. That's virtual, V-I-R-T-U-A-L. You'll get 50% off your order. Please be aware that Safety Focus Moment is here for you, meeting all of your business needs during this unique time in the world.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
So it looks like over the last 3 weeks, you've been posting quite significantly on social media. But there was kind of like a piece that you were dormant for a period of time. Why all of a sudden the engagement so much on social media?
Well, it started with a conversation we had started a while back, recognizing that, media is changing. We had already started looking at doing this, and the coronavirus pandemic basically put us in high gear, if you would. But we were looking at, how do we make a bigger presence? How do we reach some of these organizations maybe that or non-nuclear or maybe not as high a risk, but they could benefit from some of the things that we've learned and have them adopt it in a way that makes it better, if you would. So most recently, Ray Gonzalez and I have been trying to put out basically a video a day. And I started last Thursday, missed Friday, because basically when I moved my phone around in the adapter to adjust it, it held three buttons down and totally wiped my phone out. So I got to spend one day. Yeah, that's fun. And so I said, you know what, if I'm going to get a new phone, I'm going to get the latest, greatest technology. It's the latest Android phone. Anyways, the best camera on the market. And it's hopefully creating some better quality videos than my very first one. So I kind of stepped back, redid one that I had shot. And we're trying to get better at them. One of the things we really hope folks will do is let us know what they're interested in.
Now, let me ask a question real quick. I know that you were scheduled to actually speak at the 2020 Op Summit. This has now been rescheduled. It looks like they're shooting for the beginning of next year. Well, are you still going to be presenting with Tony Machera?
Yeah, we're co-presenting on the critical steps and risk important actions and H&OP in general. So with a focus on critical steps. So one of the things I think we'll have done by then, I hope, is that we'll actually have the book in print, and we'll generate some interest in that particular book. As you know, these books, you know, they become very important parts of our library to continually reference. I quite often go back and read some of James Reason's books or Sidney Decker's and find myself after all these years rereading those and then finding some nuance in there. I went, yeah, I never thought about it. Now I, you know, this is a great time to adopt this or address it or whatever that might be. And I think that's the important part about getting this down in writing. Not so much that, you know, that you get this book in print, so you're selling books. That's really not the important part of this at all, is to add to that body of knowledge with H&OP and help folks see things maybe in a slightly different light. Tony was, when he first went into consulting, he got a hold of me at Idaho National Lab when I was the manager of human performance. And he said, hey, have you guys got anything going on out there? I just started with consulting. I'm coming out to see Shane Bush and talk to him about the nuances of it. And love to get together and have dinner, blah, blah, blah. And I said, sure, Tony, I'd love to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. And so we met up and I'll tell you, I had a paradigm shift in my thoughts around critical steps. Tony came and we had some of those in-depth discussions you get on occasion with some folks that just changed the whole way you view things. And that was probably 12, 15 years ago. And I haven't seen critical steps the same way ever since. He's really changed my life and thoughts about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you're mentioning a lot of names that I wanted to ask you questions about just to see if you're familiar with any of their work, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So you've mentioned quite a few people that I've had on the show. There's a couple other people I'd like to bring up, or probably more than just a couple, but things that are coming off the top of my head. Are you familiar with any of the work from Todd Conklin?
Yeah, I like to listen to his podcasts when I get a chance. He puts so many out, I'm finding myself way behind. I've met him several different times at Human Performance Root Cause and Trending, HPRCT. He was a keynote speaker actually up in Toronto when we had it up there about 3 years ago, I think it was now. And he set me back on my heels. And I'll tell you my nugget from Todd Conklin, because I think it's an important one. I was hoping we would get there today. And he says, you need to build in the capacity to fail safe. And I thought, mm-hmm. Huh. Are we talking about nuclear here? Because that seems like an odd thing to say, is you got to have the capacity to fail safe. And so I really didn't get a handle on it then, but I spent some time re-looking at my notes that I took while he was speaking. And here's what I found and how to apply it. So I'm a practitioner by nature. I love reading theory, but what I really like is taking that theory from these folks and considering myself the translator of that information into something practical, because I come from the world of turning wrenches and valves.
Well, let me ask you a couple of a couple other people real quick, if you don't mind, because we're almost out of time. When I mention the name Earl Carnes, what comes to mind?
So Earl and I worked, of course, with the Department of Energy. And Earl, I met many years ago back when he worked for the Department of Energy. And it was the human performance lead, if you would, for the department. And I really like Earl. I think he's a brilliant man. And one of the smart things he did, I'll give him kudos to him, is he made sure that he worked with the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations and got them to help and let us basically adopt all the different writings and books that they had, or they really didn't call them books, but documents that they had written on the subject. And basically, we polished them off and put the Department of Energy heading on it, which then made it publicly available, if you would. Yeah. So to me, that was one of the great things Earl did.
Yeah, right around Christmas from what I've been told. What about the name Rob Fisher?
Yeah, I've known Rob probably for about as long as I've known Tony. Met him at HPRC Town in Florida many years ago. And the first time I saw him, he was doing karaoke. But Rob's a great singer, by the way. Find him very interesting. Funny guy, very entertaining, and brings a perspective that I think enlightens folks. I think the ability to entertain, to bring joy when you're teaching makes the challenge of teaching much easier. Folks are more open to learning, and that's one of the things I love about Rob and his approach is that he does that. And he's much like many of us in this business, he's always looking to find a new way to consider how do we address this human element in the process of work.
And then last but not least, Lamar Palmer.
To be honest, I know the name. I have never met him. So I would be ignorant in that area.
He's the one that did a lot of the polishing of the books, of the documents. That was his role.
Yeah, his name showed up a lot. I just never had an interface.
Got it. So if people want to know more information about you or Hope Consulting, where can they go with more information?
Yeah. So one, of course, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. I've got almost 5,000 connections across the world, safety, human performance, H&OP, human factors. And then the other place is, and that's Ronald Farris, F-A-R-R-I-S. And the other is to go to www.hopeconsultingllc.com. So Hope Consulting LLC, all one word, .com. And you can find our website. There's a lot of different hopes out there, which I find interesting. They all use some variety to make it usable so they can have their their name out there for as a business. But ours is spelled all capital, no periods in between. So it's not an abbreviation. It's one word.
So, Ron, I really do appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Yeah, fantastic, Jay. I've enjoyed it. Glad I got an opportunity to talk to you, and let's definitely stay in touch.
Well, this brings another episode of the Jay Allen Show to an end. Thank you for taking the time and taking a listen to what we have going on. If you're interested in finding out some more information about the show and what we have going on at Safety FM, please come to safetyfm.com. Also, as you might have heard, we are actually currently on Patreon. If you're interested in hearing on some of the things that were not on the episode, you can listen to the unedited version of my interview with Ronald Farris if you go to patreon.com/safetyfm. Thank you for always being the best part of Safety FM, and that's the listener. We'll be back with another episode before you know it. Goodbye for now.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.